Okay. Why don't we get started in a time when people are seeing a lot of challenges and struggles and life and death. I wanted to talk about something which is primary in Jewish value system, and that is the value of human life. The mitzvah, of course, of Echai Bohem, and the mitzvah to be Mechal Shabbos. Anytime there is a question of saving someone's life is a primary consideration. And therefore, I thought it would be appropriate today to talk about the primacy of life. Certainly when in the papers and the news, many question our appropriateness and how one handles situations of life and death and questions relating to that, it's important to reiterate and to make sure we all understand how halacha and hashkafa really, really shows very, very clearly the value of every single moment, every single second of life, every minute of life. Share with you what I believe is a theme that follows throughout the parsha, and that is really this concept of the value of life. If you take a look at the beginning of Perek Chaf Aleph, chapter 21 of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Emor, begins with things that seem to have been stated already or are stated already, but in this context, the Torah begins to tell the halachas of kahuna, the halachas relating to a kohen. And the Torah opens up in the parsha telling us that Amarta alem lenefesh lo yitama, that a kohen is prohibited from contaminating himself to a dead person. Now that is a halacha, and that's a unique aspect of the kohen, as opposed to other individuals, other Jews who are commanded, charged, and required, and it's a mitzvah to be mitame lames, to contaminate yourself to a dead person. Here, the Torah goes out of its way and tells us at the outset that one of the fundamentals and prerequisites of the kohen is the kohen is prohibited from contaminating himself to a mace. The Torah then goes on to tell us that there are seven exceptions to this rule: father, mother, sister, brother, son and daughter, and wife. And then the Torah goes on to tell us other rules which we are familiar with. In Pasuk Hey, the Torah tells us, "Lo yikrichu korcha b'rosham, upeas zikanam lo yigalechu, ubivsaram lo yisrutu saratan." A kohen is prohibited from making a bald spot on their heads. They can't shave the edge of their beards, and they can't cut a gash in their flesh. Now, these halachas we are familiar with. These halachas, when it comes to a mace, that one is prohibited from being extraordinarily mourning the death of a loved one by creating a bald spot, by shaving the edge of a beard, by creating a gash in one's flesh. That's true for a kohen and a non-kohen. Those are mitzvos, those are halachos, those are lavin, those are negative commandments that exist for every single Jew. And Rashi notes this, and Chazal are troubled why it is that the Torah repeats this again. And then Rashi explains to tell us there is a special lav, there's a special aveira when it comes to a kohen. But nonetheless, Mefarshei Chumash are still bothered. What's unique about a kohen specifically? The Torah has to go out of its way to tell us that the kohen can't do these things when it's true for a Yisrael already. And furthermore, what is it about a kohen specifically that a kohen cannot be metame lames, that a kohen is prohibited from contaminating himself to a dead body? Why does that jive with kahuna? What is it about a kohen, and what is it about the holy priest of Israel that is prohibited from being contaminating himself to a dead body? Rav Hirsch has a very powerful comment in the beginning of the parasha where he addresses this. And Rav Hirsch explains as follows. When it comes to other religions, very often the association that one has with God is through death. That death is very much the place where the holy religious leader in other cultures sort of connects to those who are living by passing from life to death. That is the individual's relationship to this world, is to be a corridor from life to death. That is how the association exists with other religions and other aspects of religious leadership. When it comes to Klal Yisrael and when it comes to the Jewish people, says Rav Hirsch, it's a whole different concept, that our religious leaders, and the Kohen, the priest specifically, is supposed to do just the opposite. The job is of the Kohen is to personify life. The job of the Kohen is to be the one who teaches how to live, and the job of the Kohen is to show the people how to be v'chai b'hem. I'm going to read you the language of Rav Hirsch. The beginning of the parsha of Hirsch writes, and I'll read two or three sentences of Rav Hirsch, which are a little bit lengthy, but it's worthwhile to hear in his very beautiful language what it means regarding the Kohen. He says like this: if Korach and Srita, that is the rule that a Kohen is prohibited from creating a bald spot and from creating a gash, is brought as a tribute to the God of death who overpowers everything, then we can understand why these prohibitions were repeated just for the Kohen, and they could be closely connected with the increased Tumas Meis prohibition for the priests. And he explains, antique and modern heathenism like so very much to associate religion and religious matters with death and thoughts of death. For them, it is where man ends that the kingdom of God begins. For them, death and dying are the real manifestations of their Godhead, who to them is a God of death and not of life. A God who kills and does not animate and sends death and its forerunners, illness and wretchedness, so that men should fear him, release his power, and then impotence. The places where they dedicate to temples and therefore round their graves, the foremost place of their priest is therefore at the dead and dying. Not so is the Jewish priest, because not so is the Jewish teaching of God, the Jewish religion. The God whose name assigns the Jewish priest to his office is a God of life. His sublimest manifestation is the elevating power of life, freeing, animating, raising man to free will and to eternal life, not to the crushing power of death. Not how one is to die, but how one is to live. How living one has victoriously to conquer death. Death and life, thraldom, enslaved by one's physical urges, moral weakness. How one has to live every second of a morally free, thinking, desiring, working, and accomplishing life, and enjoying all the pleasures of life as a moment of service to God. This, says Rav Hirsch, is the pshat in the Kohen. And it changes an entire outlook of the role of the Kohen, the job of the Kohen, and who the Kohen is. The Kohen, as the chief officer, as the head religious leader of Klal Yisrael, the individual who goes in lifnayv lifnim, to the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, the place where no other Jew can go, teaches and preaches all about living, about what life is about. Klal Yisrael, Yiddishkeit, Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teaches of us how to live life, what we're supposed to do. And therefore, all of the halachas that we have dealing with aspects where there's questions of life and death speak to this, and therefore life always trumps any time there's a shaila, any time there's a halacha about how to approach anything. It's true in Chilul Shabbos, it's true regarding when and how to give a bris milah, it's true in areas of kashrus, it's true when it comes to Yom Kippur, it's true to who fast, how you fast, when you fast. Because yes, we're supposed to keep halacha, but if we're unable to keep halacha because we're not here, we have not done what is appropriate and what is correct. And therefore, the beginning of Parashas Emor teaches us at the outset, if you want to understand the Kohen, and you have to understand the Kohen's job, and who the Kohen is, we don't introduce the Kohen by saying what he does, and what he wears, and how he goes about the course of his day. But the first halacha that we have in the Parsha regarding the Kohen is Lenefesh Lo Yitama Be'amo. A Kohen is prohibited from contaminating himself to the dead because that is counter everything that the Kohen stands for. It's counter to everything that Yiddishkeit stands for. The role, the job of the Kohen, the priest, is not like other religions where their role is by interceding and creating a transition from life to death. But the role, the job of the Kohen is to teach about life, how to live, how to live a fulfilling life, and how to go about living properly, following in the path of God. And therefore, that's the reason as well, explains Rav Hirsch, that the Torah again repeats the halachas of Srita, of making a bald spot, of lo yikachu korcha berosham, shaving the edge of your beard, and of course the prohibition not to make a gash. A Jew mourns when a Jew is supposed to mourn, but a Jew doesn't focus and overly state the aspects of mourning, and the Kohen teaches us this fact as well. So therefore, Parshas Emor opens up with this very important flag to be raised, which is the flag of life, and Chalila lo aleinu, not to focus on a God of death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chaye Olam, not the B'sochein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life, sheds life, and teaches us that as well. But I'd like to share with you three other places in the Parsha as well, where I believe that this repeats itself. If you look toward the end of Parak Chav Beis, Psukim Chav Vav, through Lamed Gimel, Psukim that might be very, very familiar to, because interestingly enough, Parshas Emor, which is the Parsha of the Moedim, the Parshas that we read on the holidays, on Sukkot and on Pesach, we don't begin with the section where it discusses the Yamim Tov and Pesach and then the Omer, but rather we begin here in the Parsha known as Kesev Oez Ki Yevalim. And there are three Psukim here that have to be understood in light of the fourth. Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, if you're following in the Stone Chumash on page 680, by Dabar Shem Moshe Lemor, Shor O Kesev O Eiz Ki Yevaled, V'haya Shivas Yamim Tachas Imam. So if an ox, a sheep, or a goat is born, so the rule is that for 7 days it has to be with its mother. U'miyom Hashmini V'hala Yeratzeh, Lekarban Ishe Lashem. Only beginning on day 8 is this child, is this baby, is this ox, sheep, or goat that's born permitted to be offered as a korban. This is a pasuk. This is a halacha. Shibane Beis Hamikdash Meher V'Yemeni. We should be zocha to be mekayimet. But the kohen knows, and a Jew knows, that if you bore a ox, a sheep, or a goat, the rule is that none of those can be offered as a korban until 7 days of life have been given to this animal, and then only on day 8 is the korban permitted to be brought. Miyom Hashmini v'hala yeratze l'korban isha l'Hashem. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Halacha number 1 regarding a korban. Pasuk Chav Ches 28. Vishor oseh oso v'esbeno lo sishchatu b'yom echad. Pasuk 28. An ox and a sheep or a goat, any of the animals that we're dealing with, the rule is that you can't shech the mother and its offspring on the same day. This is the halacha of Osav Esbeno, and this is a halacha that's kept until today. You have to make sure that anytime slaughtering is taking place, slaughtering of a mother and its offspring on the same day is prohibited. We'll explain each of those laws momentarily. Pasuk Chavches, the third rule that the Torah articulates, Vishor Oseh. When you're dealing with, Pasuk Chav Tes 29, V'chisiz b'chu zevach toda l'Hashem. If you're offering a korban toda, a thanksgiving offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'rtzonchem tizbachu. You have to order it, you have to offer it as a favor for Hashem. V'yomahu ye'achel, lo sasir mimen arboker ne'Hashem. You can't leave anything over. You have to eat the entire korban toda in one day. So here you have a string of three psukim, one after the other. Number one, you're prohibited from shechting an animal until day 8 of its life. Halacha number 2, a animal and its mother and offspring are prohibited from being shechted on the same day. And halacha number 3, regarding the korban toda, the thanksgiving and the meal offering, you are required to eat it all in one day and you can't leave it over. Reb Shimon Schwab, in his commentary, Mayan Beis HaShoeva, questions what these three psukim are doing together, number one, and number two, they're immediately before the next pasuk. Look at the next pasuk, Lamed Aleph. Lo sechalunu es shem kochi, v'nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael, ani Hashem mikadeshechem, hamotzi eschem eretz mitzrayim yosachem lelukim, ani Hashem. Last pasuk in Perek Chavez is the mitzvah, of course, of Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem teaches us that a Jew is required to give his or her life any time there is a requirement to do so. Of course, the three cardinal sins, Gilei Raios, Shvichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah, there is a requirement to give your life in order not to be over any of the three cardinal sins, Gilei Raios, illicit relations, Shvichus Damim, murder, and Avodah Zarah, idol worship. And of course, at the same time, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin that if a Jew or a Jewish community is in a situation where the country, the host country, the government, the officials are putting us under pressure. Even things that are minor, Arakta the Mesana, the Gemara says, even things that are very, very minimal. If it's big zera and klali shall not to do something at a time of shmad, at a time of death, at a time when the Jewish people are being taken advantage of, again, we are required to give our lives in such a situation. Asks Rav Shua, what is the connection and the juxtaposition of these four psukim together? Again, the halacha of day eight is the only time at the outset that one is permitted to offer a korban of a animal that's born. Number two, the rule of osos beno, offspring and its mother are prohibited being shechted in the same day, and a korban toda having to be eaten as well in one day and not leaving anything off. Rav Schwab explains that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which is the last mitzvah in this parsha and in this perek, is very, very basic to Judaism. We all know, and we are familiar, ancestors of ours have given their lives on Kiddush Hashem, whether it's the Holocaust, pogroms, in ghettos, Inquisition, Crusades, thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions have given their life al Kiddush Hashem. Rav Shoaib explains that giving your life al Kiddush Hashem is an awesome, awesome thing. Rabbi Kiva himself says in the Gemara Maseches Brachos that he waited his whole life to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. He was one, of course, of the 10 martyrs that Sari Malchus, and he was waiting his whole life to fulfill this mitzvah. However, says Rav Schwab, this mitzvah is only great if you value your life. If you value life and your life is important to you, then giving your life is the greatest thing that a Jew can do. But if a Jew doesn't value their life, and a Jew doesn't live with passion, enthusiasm, excitement, doesn't feel the fresh air and breathe every moment appreciating what the Jew has, and you don't see sunrise and sunset, and you don't recognize it, and you don't appreciate what life has to offer, the gifts, the brachos that we have been bestowed with, then giving your life is not really a present that's valuable. When you give something to somebody, the value of that present is how much you invested in it. But if your life is not important, and that's what you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by dying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that that's not a mitzvah, that you're not giving me much. But a Jew who values their life and lives life with sincerity, with excitement, with enthusiasm, that's a life that's valuable. Therefore, says Rav Schwab, prior to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which is given here in Pasuk Lamed Beis, the Torah gives us a string of three halachas which show the value of life. Number one, when you're dealing with the korban, the Torah understands that part of the requirements that we have as a Jew and the mitzvah that we have is to offer korbanos sacrifices. However, the Torah says that if you're going to offer an ox, a sheep, or a goat, and you don't give that ox, sheep, or goat 7 days to live, you're snuffing life out of something that wanted to live. Therefore, the Torah tells us, Shor o kesef o eis kivalav hayashivas yamim tachasimo. You have to at least give the animal 7 days to live, to appreciate what life is and what life is about. Only then, on day eight, once the animal had 7 days, then you're permitted to offer the korban l'Hashem. But to take an animal away prior to living 7 days, although we value korbanos and we understand that man is well above in the pyramid than the animal kingdom, at the end of the day, we value animals, we value their life, and therefore be prohibited, it would be inappropriate to take the animal away and to shech the animal prior to living 7 days. And that explains Rav Schwab, the next pasuk as well. Shor oseh osov es beno l'shechatu b'yom echad. You can't kill and shech a animal and a mother and her offspring on the same day. That's genocide. The Ramban explains that shechting a mother and its offspring on the same day is something that's painful. It's something that's gruesome. The Ramban explains, as well as the Rambam and other Rishonim, that the reason for this mitzvah of osov es beno lo sishchatu b'yom echad is the ultimate definition of genocide. It's destroying a family system, a mother and her offspring, and that's inappropriate because that speaks to the disvaluing of life. If a Jew values life, it's not only for us, it's not only for mankind, but it's true for the animal kingdom and it's true for plant life as well. And therefore, genocide and destroying, killing, murdering, shechting a mother, animal, Sure, Kesev Oez, and her offspring on the same day is inappropriate. Again, we see here, not only with allowing the animal to live for 7 days and only on day 8 offering it as a korban, but we also see here as well the inappropriateness and the prohibition of Osav Espino again speaks to the value of life. And then, of course, in the third pasuk, pasuk Chavtes here, the Torah talks and discusses about the law of the korban todah. And what is the korban todah, and when is a korban todah brought? After a Jew goes through a life and death situation, a Jew who escapes and gets out of the desert, a Jew who crosses and passes over the large sea, a Jew who is able, who was incarcerated and leaves jail, a Jew who is sick and leaves a hospital, all four of those, that's when you make a bracha of hagomel. But the original hagomel, of course, was the korban todah, was the Thanksgiving offering that was offered when a Jew was able to be saved from death, when I crossed the sea, when I got out of the desert, when I'm out of my sickness, when I'm out of a situation of danger. And in those situations, it's incumbent upon a Jew to be required to bring a korban todah. And everybody comes together. And that's why the halacha says, and the pasuk explains here, you have to eat the korban todah in one day. Why can't you leave anything over? Why is it different than other shlamim, where you have a day and two nights? Here you only have one day, 24 hours. And the tziv explains, because when it comes to life and being saved from death, you invite everybody and you introduce and you explain and you share the story of what happened and how you got through the situation that you were through. Everybody is invited, and therefore the entire korban is finished, is eaten an entire day, and there should be nothing left behind. These three halachas, the halach of Osos Beno, the halach of Shivas Yamin Tachas Imo, the halach of the Korban Todah, speak about the value of life, the importance of living. None of these halachas speak specifically, besides the last, about man, but the first two speak about the value of the animal kingdom and allowing a animal to live 7 days before being shechted. A genocide is prohibited because that also shows the disvaluing for life. And again, the halacha of Korban Todah speaks to this as well. Therefore, explains of Schwab in an amazing way that the juxtaposition of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, giving your life for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, can only be taught in a situation where a person appreciates life. And therefore, the Torah goes out of its way in Psukim Chavches, Chavtes, and Lamed, before introducing us to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, to recognize, yes, a Jew gives his life for God. And of course, millions of Jews have done that throughout the eras. And we say that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad, V'yavta Hashem Elkeach B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha V'chol Madecha. Nafshecha means afil hu notel es nafshecha. When we say V'chol Nafshecha, we're willing to give up our lives. We're willing to go to our deaths for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every Jew has been prepared to do that, and every Jew has done that. But again, we can't be ready to give our lives if we're not ready to live. The importance of life, the value of life, needs to be understood clearly and needs to be at the forefront and needs to be at the outset of our philosophy and of our halachic system. And nowhere ever would the Torah tell a Jew to give his life unless we first appreciate the value of life. And that explains of Shrab is the juxtaposition of this section of the Torah from Psukim Chavav to Psukim Lamed Gimel. Rav Schwab adds that this is the reason why we begin every Yontif, Pesach, and Sukkot. We don't read this on Shavuos, but that's the reason why we begin with these six Psukim prior to the Moadim. It would be logical if you take a look on Perek Chav Gimel, where the Torah starts the Moadim, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'marta lehem Moad Hashem asher tikra osam b'moadam mikra'i kodesh elehem Moadai. Perek Chav Gimel, that's what we should read on Yontif. We should read about Pesach, we should read about Sukkot, we should read about Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. That's logical to read on Pesach and Sukkot. Why do we start the readings and the Torah reading with Pasuk Chav Zayin? So Rav Schwab explains that Yontif is supposed to infuse a Jew with life. In the day-to-day, in the mundane, we get caught up in our affairs, we get caught up in our obligations and our jobs and responsibilities. Yontif is a moment to stop and to think about the importance of life, and to value life, and to understand and to appreciate who we are and what we're about. And Yontif infuses a Jew with the enthusiasm, with the excitement, and the ability to be able to charge forward and to move in the right direction. Therefore, the Torah specifically, and Chazal understood that Yom Yontif would be the right time to review the value of life, the importance of life, because Yontif is supposed to infuse a Jew with life, and never ever should we be only focusing on giving our life al Kiddush Hashem, but rather it's just the opposite. We should be focusing on living our lives al Kiddush Hashem. So therefore, we've seen so far two parts or two pieces of the Parsha which really focus on the value of life. The opening section of Parshas Emor regarding the Kohen and Rav Hirsch's explanation as to why the Kohen has extra halachas regarding not being metamei lemeis. And here, of course, the successor to Rav Hirsch, Rav Schwab, the great German rabbi, and German rabbis, the leadership of the German community, Rav Schwab and both Rav Hirsch, espouse and explain and show in this parasha, Parshas Emor, the value of life and the importance of life. But I'd like to share with you two other places where this manifests itself as well in Parshas Emor. If you take a look at the end of the parasha, Perek Chavdal, from Psukim Yud Gimel till the end, page 692, if you have the stone Chumash, the Torah tells us the story of the blasphemer. And the blasphemer is a painful parsha to read, the end of Parshas Emor. And the Torah tells us, and you should drop back a few psukim, pasuk yud, on the top of page 692, that there was a Jew who was the son of a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man. So, of course, this fellow was a Jew. He was born to a Jewish mother, ben isha Yisraelis, who ben ish mitzri. So as a female Jewess and a non-Jewish Egyptian who are married, and the youngster, the child of this relationship, was the blasphemer. But what occurred? So the Torah reports in Pasuk Yud that there was a fight, and Rashi explains that the Jew, this young boy, this kid, whoever it was arguing with somebody else, and there was a disagreement about whether or not this Jewish fellow is permitted to inherit and to have a nachla, inheritance in the camp of the Jewish people. The fact that he was born to a Jew, from a non-Jewish father, the Ish Mitzri, therefore placed his inheritance in Klal Yisrael in question. So there was a fight about this point, and the Torah tells us that there was an argument. And as a result of this argument that took place, the Torah tells us, Vayikov ben Ha'isha Yisraelis es Hashem Vayikalem. He cursed God. He was so angered as a result of how he was treated that he cursed God. Now, of course, in a as a sidebar, what's so critical about this story is recognizing that whenever there is a question of halacha and how to deal with something, so the appropriate approach is not to take it up with the person directly, but to try to deal with it in a very careful, calm, and appropriate fashion. The fact that this Jew blasphemed God, of course, emerged from the fact that he was challenged by another Jew. So if you want to give Musar, Tochacha, and educate Jews who are not as knowledgeable, the best way to do it is by being calm, understanding, and sharing information in appropriate fashion when it is appropriate. But if you're doing so in a authoritative way, in an aggressive way, not only are you going to be counterproductive in not allowing this individual to continue to climb the ladder of his Jewish education and success in becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but here in this story you see very clearly that what occurred was the fact that this Jew was so angered, so upset, he ran and he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, you have to deal with that. That's a lav, that's an Issur D'oraisa, one of the Aseres HaDibros. You can't curse God. So he was brought in front of Moshe, the Torah tells us, and the name of his mother was Shlomish Bash Dibri Lamate Dan, Vayanichel Bamishmar Lifros, he was placed in jail until they were able to figure out what to do with this person. Here was, could be the first time in the history of the Jewish people that we know about somebody who cursed God. This was this individual, the son of Shlomis Baz Dibri, the son of this Egyptian man who cursed God. What do we do with this guy? So Pasuk Yud Gimel says, V'edaber Shem HaMoshe Leymar, Hotzi Yasa Mekala Umichutz Lamachaneh, God speaks to Moshe directly, and God tells Moshe the punishment for cursing God is skila. You're going to stone the person. You're going to take the mekalel out of the machana. V'samchu kol ha'shomes yideyam ha'rosho v'ragmo oso kol ha'eda. You're going to place their heads on top of his head, and that's what's going to happen to this individual. He's going to be stoned. So the halach is clear. There's no question what to do with this person. This individual cursed God. Moshe speaks to God, and God speaks directly to the Jewish people and tells us how to adjudicate the punishment for this person. It's done. One would expect that the next pasuk in the Torah should tell us, and that's what they did. They stoned him. There's not a machlokas. There's not a difference of opinion. It's not three people on a bezdin, 21 people and 71 people on a bezdin, dayanim, who are debating what to do. There's a straight word of God. God has spoken to Moshe, and Moshe has heard God say, stone him. The next pasuk should be that that's what happened. However, if you take a look, that only happens in pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk 23, the last pasuk in the parasha says, Vayidaber Moshe b'nei Yisrael, v'yotzias ha'mekal mechutz l'machlam, yichmo so'aved, u'bnei Yisrael asu kasha tzivas Hashem as Moshe. That's how Parshas Emor finishes. Parshas Emor finishes by telling us that the Jewish people stoned this person. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. Well, what happens between Pasuk Yud Gimel and Pasuk Chaf Gimel? 10 psukim it took for them to stone him. What happened? If you read the psukim, and we'll read them now, you'll see that certain halachas were taught to Bnei Yisrael that are in between these two bookends of what they were supposed to do, how they're supposed to mete out the punishment, and until the punishment was meted out. What takes place in between? Take a look in the psukim, and you'll see something phenomenal. Pasuk Tes Vav, 15. Vel Bnei Yisrael tedaber lemar, ish ish ki yekalel olokav v'nasa chetam. If somebody curses God, the following is going to be the punishment. V'nokiv shem Hashem mos, you must rogum yugmu bo kol ha'eda, keger kegezrach v'nokvo shem you must. So here you learn, says Bnei Yisrael, they're taught that you're prohibited from cursing God. If you do curse a God, you will be receiving a stoning. And then the Torah goes on and tells us some other rules. V'ish ki yakit kol nefesh adam mos you must. If you hit another Jew, you're worthy of the death penalty. Pasuk Yuches, umak nefesh behema yishal men. If you hurt, if you inflict pain, if you injure an animal, again, nefesh tachas nefesh, your animal for another animal, or your soul for another soul. Umak nefesh behema yishal mena. If you hit, if you inflict damage upon an animal, you'll pay for it. Nefesh tachas nefesh. V'ish ki yitei mumba amiso. If you inflict pain, if you hurt, if you injure another human being, kasher asa ken yasalo, whatever you did to that person, that's what you'll get back. The famous pasuk shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, kasher yiten mum ba'adam ken yinasin bo. So the Torah starts telling us halachas that are not necessarily connected to this story, right? Number one, you hear this, the Torah tells us you the halacha that if you murder another person, you're going to be worthy of the death penalty. If you injure another person, however you injured that person, that's what you're going to get back. If you inflict pain upon an animal, you're going to have to be the recipient of paying for that damage. And then the Torah finishes, umake behemi shalmena, umake adam yumas. If you hit an animal, you're going to have to pay for the pain that was inflicted. And if you hurt another person, if you kill another person, you're going to be put to death. What's the Torah doing here? Why is the Torah telling you these halachas right here in between the punishment for stoning an individual and the story of this individual who is required to be murdered and to be stoned? And only in the last pasuk Chav Gimel, does the Torah tell you, v'yigmo osa aven, that then the Jewish people stoned this person. So Moshe Feinstein, like Rav Shimon Schwab, and like Rav Shimon Shmuel Hirsch, says the same exact thing. What the Torah is teaching us here is that you're going to stone somebody and they're worthy of the death penalty. I want you to appreciate, says Rav Moshe, and the Torah, what you're doing. Do you know what it means to stone somebody, even though they cursed God and even though they're worthy of the death penalty? This is such a painful and such a difficult and such a challenging punishment. I want you to appreciate the value of life before you do that. And therefore, the Torah goes out of its way to tell you three halakhas. If you kill another person, you're going to be worthy of the death penalty. If you're going to hurt, if you're going to injure an animal, you're going to pay for it. If you're going to take away a limb from another animal, you're going to pay severely. And if you're going to hurt another person, Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, regel tachas regel, shever tachas shever. Don't think that stoning a person, even though they blasphemed God, they cursed God, which is a terrible, egregious error, which is a punishment that's worthy of death, worthy of stoning. But nonetheless, the Torah says, before you do that, and before you actually stone this person, I have to teach you, I have to explain to you what life is about. And only once you realize and understand the value of life, at that point, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vaydaber Moshe al Bnei Yisrael, Vayotziu asa makal al michutz lamachane, Vayigmu aso oven, Uvnei Yisrael asu kasher tziv asrem as Moshe. Only once Klal Yisrael understood the value of life, they appreciated what it means to be alive, to smell, to taste, to breathe, to see the sky, to see the fresh air, to see the blossoming of the spring, and to appreciate that, and to understand the value of every human being, of an animal, and of course, everything that exists in the world. At that point, says Rav Moshe, then Klal Yisrael understood, and only then were they permitted, and did they actually stone this individual who is worthy of the death penalty. Therefore, we've seen the bookends, the beginning of Parshas Emor and the Kohen and the value of life. And we've seen the end of the Parshas Emor, the value of life in the story of the Mekalel. We saw the midsection of Parshas Emor dealing with the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and giving your life for God only in the context of appreciating life and understanding the value of life. And I'd like to show you one other place in the Parsha, a timely section in terms of the season that we find ourselves in, where you'll see this as well. If you turn back to the Parsha Samoadim, toward the beginning of Perek Chav Gimel, after the Yom Tov of Pesach is taught to Klal Yisrael, the next item on the calendar, of course, is the Omer. The Omer is where we find ourselves in now. We are on day 31 of the Omer. And the source of the mitzvah to count the Omer is right here in Parshas Emor, in Psukim Tes through Chav Beis. And the Torah here tells us that when you are, the Beis HaMikdash was standing, not only would we count the Omer, but of course we would bring the Korban Omer. On the second day of Pesach, we would bring the barley offering. And on day 50, we would bring the Shteh HaLechem, which was the bread offering. And the Torah goes on for a lengthy amount of time, Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Yud, explaining to us how to bring the Korban Omer, what the Korban Omer was. Again, that's on day 2 of Pesach, the requirement to do so. And then Psukim Tes Vav start talking to us about the count. And that's what we're doing now. Usfartem lacham mimachras ha-shabbos miyom adiachem es omar tnufa sheva shabbosos tmimos diena. You're going to count 7 full weeks. Of course, 49 days, the 50th day being Shavuos. That's where we are now. And as we get closer, and as we get closer, as we pine to reach the day, the ultimate day that is identified in Pasuk Chav Aleph, the bottom of page 684, this day, day 50, is going to be a holy convocation. It's going to be the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It's going to be a holiday for Klal Yisrael for posterity. So if you're following carefully, Perek Chav Gimel is the Perek about the Moadim. As I mentioned before, we read this on Pesach and we read this on Shavuos. We start with Pesach, we go to the Omer, and then Shavuos, and we continue in Pasuk Chav Gimel, talking about Rosh Hashanah, then Sukkot, and then we finish the entire chapter, Perek Chav Gimel, with Vaydaber Moshe Moadei Hashem Bnei Yisrael. So Perek Chav Gimel, Parshas Emor, is Perek Chav Gimel, 44 Psukim, dealing with the holidays. So if you want to know about the Yomim Tovim, and you want to know the mitzvahs of the Yomim Tovim, this is the place to look, Perek Chav Gimel. Parshas Re'eh, of course, is the Parsha where it talks about Aliyah LaRegel, and in Parshas Pinchas and Sefer Bamidbar is where the Karbanos are discussed for the particular holidays. But if you want to know about Yom Tov, if you want to know about the Dalet Minim and sitting in the Sukkah on Sukkot, you look here. If you want to know about eating matzah and how to eat matzah and how not to eat chametz, you look here. You want to know about Shavuos, this is where you look. If that's the case, look at the last Pasuk regarding Shavuos. Pasuk Chav Beis. We just announced the mitzvah of Omer. And the holy Yom Tov of Shavuos in Pasuk Chav Aleph, now Pasuk Chav Beis, uvekutzerchem es ketzir artzichem, when you're going to harvest your land, lo sechala peasadecha bikutzrecha beleke ketzircha lo selaket. Here the Torah starts telling you the halachas of agriculture, leket, shechacha and peah. The halacha is if a Jew is a farmer and a Jew has property and land, any gleanings that you forget, you can't pick up. The corner of your field has to be left behind. Leket tells you the halacha that you can't take everything with you. You have to leave some things behind. Rashi and the Rishonim and the Mefarshei HaChumash ask here, what is this pasuk doing here? In the middle of the Parsha Samoadim, in the middle of Perek Chav Gimel, and specifically after the instruction of how to celebrate the Omer and to bring the Karban Omer, and then on day 50 to bring the Shtei Halachem, the Torah sticks in between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, the time period that we're closer to now, as we're about to reach Shavuos. Right after Shavuos, the Torah tells you, by the way, if you're dealing with agriculture and you're a person who deals with land and property, you need to know the halachas of Leket Shechach and Peah. That's a must. What's this pasuk doing here? Pasuk Beis is totally out of place. Rashi notes the difficulty of being here, and Rashi explains, Amar Rav Avdimi Rabbi Yosef, Ma Ra Kasuv Litan Bam Tzar Regalim. Why is the Torah telling you the mitzvah of Leket Shechach and Peah in the middle of Parshas Regalim? Pesach v'atzeres mikan, Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha-kippurim v'chag mikan. On one bookend, we just read about Pesach and Shavuos, and on the other bookend, Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippur. So the Rashi, quoting Taras Konim, says, Shekol anosein leket shichacha b'peah le'ani karoi malan ala b'kasuv kilubana beis ha-mikdash v'ikriv karbonosa b'socha. Anybody who gives leket shichacha and peah and gladdens in ani, it's as if they have built their own Beis HaMikdash. Because when it comes to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where we're trying and working to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we enter the Beis HaMikdash, you really want to know how you can do that as well? You have to take care of the Ani. And the Meshech Chachma explains here, and this is really what Rashi means as well, something much deeper. What Rashi is saying is that when you're living your life on Yom Kippur, and you're happy, and you're in a matzvah of the samachta lefnei Hashem lokecha, and you're feeling life in its greatest, like Rav Schwab explained, that's what Yontif is supposed to do. Yontif is supposed to infuse you with life. You know what your responsibility is? Infuse others with life. Give life to somebody else. Care for another human being. Offer the lechet, shichacha, and peah, and therefore dafka the Torah here, in the midst and in the height of the value and appreciating your own life, and knowing what you have and understanding what you have been given, don't think that living life is just for yourself. Recognize and share the value of life with others. So while the Torah and three other places in Parshas Emor explain to us the value of life vis-a-vis the negative, that we have to make sure when you're stoning somebody else, and the story with the Mikalel at the end of Parshas Emor, appreciate the value of life before you stone. Before you're going to give up your life, appreciate the value of life. The special law of the Kohen, and the Kohen can't contaminate himself to the mace. More than that, the Torah goes out of its way in Parshas Emor to teach us also, it's not just the value of your life that's critical, but make sure you're infusing the life of others with truth, with MS, with giving, with sharing, with understanding that other people's lives are also critical. And if they're not going to have food, and if they're not going to have what to eat, and if they're not going to have things to eat, then we are not living our lives properly. And therefore, the Torah says, don't forget about the ani, don't forget about the ger, and don't forget about the people in your surroundings that are also looking towards you. Live your life, appreciate life, value life. Then and only then can you offer your life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there's ever a situation that it's called upon to do. We hope and we pray that we're able to live our lives al Kiddush Hashem, not to die al Kiddush Hashem. But at the same time, our responsibility is to make sure La'ani v'la'ger tazov osam ani Hashem Elokeichem. Therefore, what I believe is really the theme that takes us throughout Parshas Emor is this point of valuing life. And in the philosophy and in the halacha, we need to understand and to appreciate that as Jewish people, the value of life is a paramount and is critical and is the numero uno decision anytime we need to understand how to apply halacha and how to live our lives. This is the pedestal that Klal Yisrael has reached. And this is something that we have given the world. In biblical times, of course, there were karbanos and their offerings where humans were offered. And in recent times, we see that the value of humans is not always that which is put on a pedestal. But what the Jewish people understand, what we teach, and what the Torah teaches us, is to understand and to appreciate what we have, to live our lives fully, to enjoy life, and to appreciate what we've been given. Not to focus, as Rav Hirsch says, on the God of death. That's for other religions. That's not who we are. Our lives of Jews is v'chai b'hem, living, appreciating, understanding, going through our day, enjoying it with our friends, with our family, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, living through the Yom Tovim, enjoying everything we've been given, every moment of life we've been given. And to go through life and to appreciate life by getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is something that Parshas Emor, I believe, is highlighting and is showing us. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to live our lives properly, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us a refuah, and only good things for all Klal Yisrael and for the entire world. Everybody should have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week.